You've heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day by entering their contests with huge cash prizes up for grabs. Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night, and it's simple to do. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users all across sports. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there is no better place to get in on all the action. Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using promo code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's promo code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Today on the Soda Pod, we have another outstanding segment of Make Good Choices with our boy Q. And then we'll throw things over to Joey Netto for another segment of Judge Joey. Prepare for some laughs, folks, on episode 179 of the Soda Pod. Let's go. From the wild woods of Vancouver Island, welcome to the Soda Pod. You should join me here alongside the state of Hoppy, and thank you for joining us wherever and whenever you are listening. All right, no procrastination, no small talk, no lollygagging. We're going to jump right into, I think, my favorite Make Good Choices segment thus far here on the Soda Pod. Just want to remind everyone quickly before we jump into that, hit us up on Twitter and Facebook at the Soda Pod. You can leave us a text or voicemail as well, 612-324-1684. We would love to hear your good choices as well. So text us a story, leave us a voicemail, or call us. We want to feature your segments here on Make Good Choices. Again, that's 612-324-1684. Big thanks to Open Phone. It's a cell phone in an app. Great monthly rates at only $10 a month only at Open Phone. The Hockey Podcast Network and the Soda Pod are proudly powered by DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use promo code THPN upon sign up for a bonus. And if you're a regular user, plug that promo code in for weekly deals. All right, on the other side, we're bringing in Q. Make good choices here on episode 179 of the Soda Pod.
Great choice.
All right, it is Wednesday, and you know what that means. We have another segment of Make Good Choices, ironically named after the just god-awful beer, Make Good Choices, that Q told me would be my gateway beer into sours, and holy shit, it was a petri dish boiling in my cup. So, we're going to talk about our stories that maybe weren't such great choices. As always here, obviously, the man who inspired this segment, we have Q on board with us to dive into yet another story that makes us all scratch our heads.
I'll have a round of applause for you next time, buddy.
Well, Q, feel free. Take it away. I know this is one that you've been kind of chomping at the bit to tell.
I mean, it's been enough years now, so I feel like I can finally tell the story. It was a Wednesday night a long time ago.
That's a great start.
It's also Wednesday night tonight when this is being released. So there
That's
you go.
Crazy. Yeah. Wednesday night, 21 years old. One of my best friends at college had a military buddy coming in town, and he's like, we're going to drink some tequila. And I was like, hell yeah. I'm drinking with a vet. Let's do this. Like, I'm ready. I got my game pants on. Let's go. And then I had like one homework assignment, and he's like, yeah, my room, 6 o'clock, we're going to town. And I'm like, I got to get this done. And if I did not operate that fast in college, and it was like, 5:55, and I'm like, there's no way I'm going to make it. And I'm rushing through the assignment, and I get done at like 6:10, and I'm like, God damn it. Like, I had one mission tonight and now I'm behind. And I'm like, I'm letting my country down. I wanted to drink with this guy. And this, you know, like, I got to get over there. Total FOMO. Like, those 10 minutes, I was just like, I'm missing out on so much. And they're like, I get over there and they're like, hi, meet the army guy. Me and my buddy start drinking. And I'm like, what did I miss? What did I miss? I feel so bad. And they're like, yeah, you know, you missed 10 minutes. We've had two shots. And I was like, God damn it. I'll just do a double every time you guys do a single the rest of the night. Like, that's on me. I should have been here.
And math was his strong suit.
Yeah. You know, in ratios and figuring out where the balancing point is. So the first 30 minutes, that was a great idea. And, you know, like, they were six in and I was eight in, just four to them, missed the first two. So eight in, still feeling good, still could do math.
You beat me to the cricket button.
Still could do math. Just took a little while. And then, so this year, like, where we lived, like, they had adjoining rooms. And then one of our other friends, Mikey, was in the adjoining room. And he's like, I have nobody to drink with. And I was like, oh, I feel bad. Don't worry about it. Like, I got a double shot glass here. Just fill me up and I'll drink with you too. And he's drinking Speca. And I'm like, yeah, if you give it to me, I'll totally drink it with you. So he started taking shots and I was taking doubles of his Speca. And I was still on pace with Coy and his military buddy. And I felt like we had a really good hour. And, like, I don't know how everybody else was feeling, but, like, it was pretty fun. And then, like, I remember going downstairs and, like, these guys were playing Call of Duty. And I walked in the room, fell over laughing, rolled under their futon and laughed for 20 minutes, like, hysterically, could not speak, could not explain why stuff was funny, which I don't remember why it was. And then, anyway, that led to me, like, trying to go to my girlfriend's at the time and then puking over a river and then being like, he needs to go to the hospital. And then
you puked over a river.
Oh, yeah.
I need to hear more about this.
I was on the bridge between, like, the dorms up on the hill and in the sophomore dorms.
So you puked in the river.
Probably. I don't know. I remember being on the bridge being like, oxygen or a doctor is probably a good idea right about now. And, like, the week prior, we took, like, Webby to the doctor and, like, they gave him some fluids and, like, everything was okay. So I was like, you know, I'll just go to the doctor, get some water, be coherent. Life will be good.
Go to the doctor for water.
So, like, my girlfriend called Scott at the time, like, half hour later when I made it up the hill. And I'm like, I think you took me. Did you, Hoppy?
What the fuck I did? No, I heard nothing about I heard nothing about any of this until the next day when his girlfriend is bawling, begging me to be the one that's going to go pick his ass up and detox 50 minutes away.
Well, anyway, she called somebody.
And so that's a fast forward.
And that person drove me to the doctor. And
to this day, he still doesn't know.
Don't know who drove me. And I was like, I was talking to the driver and I was like, yeah, I'm just going to get, like, a hydration bag. It's going to be cool. I already saw someone do this last week. And then it was, like, a different doctor on duty. And he's like, you're fucking hammered. You're going to detox, which is, like, sheriff picks you up, handcuff ankles and hands. And I'm like, sir, what's this for? I'm like, I can barely walk. I'm not going to run away. And then, like, I don't remember much. I guess it's a 50-minute car ride, but it felt like a minute. And then I woke up the next morning, so that was the next part I remembered. And so in detox in Rochester, Minnesota, you get a roommate normally.
So is this like the drunk tank?
Yeah.
Okay,
so I was like, in Canada, we just call it what it is. It's the drunk tank, not detox. This ain't rehab.
Got it. So
detox is the clinical term.
Yeah. So
drunk tank is what it is.
Okay. I was so confused. I'm like, this is way more intense than it should be. Here he's going to detox.
No, the drunk tank.
He's meeting Dr. Dre for that album we didn't hear.
Right.
So anyway, I woke up the next morning, not 100% sure where I was. And there was a bed across the room and it definitely wasn't my college roommate because it was like a 60-year-old man with a scar from the top of his forehead through his eye, missing part of his nose, missing part of his top lip, down to his bottom chin. And I was like, oh, shit. I went to Catholic school my whole life. I'm not ready for this. So I just laid there.
I would argue, Catholic, that maybe you were ready.
I wasn't ready to meet my maker. So I just laid there for like an hour. And then they like woke us up and like explained like what was going on. And then like one guy's like, oh, I've been here all the time. And like, I've like, oh, I've heard a couple of friends have like positive experiences here, which maybe Hoppy can like speak to, because he picked us all up individually. But my experience wasn't that fun. There was like one guy shaking the whole time, and I was worried about that for some reason. And then like there was one guy who went to smoke a cigarette in the bathroom and was like, if you tell them, I'm going to fucking kill you. And I was like, I'm not going to tell them.
Like, buddy, this is a drunk take. Calm the fuck down.
Yeah. But then the lady's like, you have to blow below the whatever number.
No, you had to blow zeros.
Yeah. And then you had to wait, I think, 12 hours or something. Or at a certain point.
12 hours?
After blowing zeros. And that took a while. So.
That's insane. Up here, you blow zeros, you walk right out the door.
Maybe it was like below legal limit, then it was 12 hours, which gets you.
No, I think it was like once you blow zeros, you're good.
Okay.
But if you're literally at like 0.001 right before closing time, you're stuck overnight.
Oh, maybe that's what the worst.
Because I remember blowing at like 4 o'clock and 4:30, and the lady's like, you. There's no point in continuing to try. She's like, you're here another night.
No. You're not gonna make it. No,
you did two nights?
Yeah.
Oh,
she's like, he did two fucking nights.
Because a lot of people go at 4, 4:30, and 5, and she's like, don't even come back for the 5 o'clock test. She's like, your numbers are still too high.
Did they get you a fucking IV at least? Like, were you hydrated?
Yeah, so I had an IV at the hospital. Okay,
thank fuck. Like,
before I went there. But they don't give you one in the drunk tank once you get there. So I was like, thirsty. They're like, and then like my girlfriend brought me like Chipotle, and then they're like, we can't give this to him because it might have contraband in it or something. And then like,
because it's a USA size burrito.
It was a big burrito. I was like, damn, that looks good. Extra sour cream fixes the hangover. Anyway, the next day I got my phone call, so I called Hoppy and I was like, hey, I know you know where I am. Can you come pick me up?
Yep, so that happened.
Dying.
And of course, we had to stop at Chipotle then as well. So the thing here, Isha, Winona is like very southeast corner, essentially, of Minnesota, like right across from La Crosse, Wisconsin, which maybe is more familiar to some listeners. And again, like 45 up to an hour, depending on where you're going in Rochester to get there. And that was our closest Chipotle. So yeah. that was a thing that we did, right? Like there was a couple times where we had like a caravan and we're like, all right, we got 10 people's orders. Let's this.
Go, yeah.
And we'd get there like just before close. I know Q and Joey went there once together, got there like literally as they were closing. Like, well, we got like 20 bags of chips that we're just going to throw away. You guys just want to take them?
Yeah, that was an awesome night.
Yeah.
The guy was literally like, if you post at the East Chipotle in Rochester is awesome, we'll give you everything that we haven't thrown away. And we got like quadruple meat, like triple wrap, tons of chips. And like literally I opened the door at close. Like I heard it click as I had opened it, like the automatic. The guy looked up and goes, how did you get in? I go, the door.
That is actually how he responded, from what I'm told by people that were there. But so back to the, not so good choices. I pick him up and this is sophomore year of college. This is the first run that I make to detox/drunk tank, Isha,
to jail.
Pick someone up.
To jail.
Drinking jail. And
you get
to
drunk
up and
you go to jail.
He is petrified. Like he is scared shitless and like looks at me and tells me, he's like, I'm never drinking again. I'm like, yeah, that's funny. He's like, no, never again. Never again. And like the next weekend he drank, but he made it a full week without drinking. And I was damn impressed. The next year, we had a buddy who won't be named, but we'll just say that I think it was also a Wednesday night queue. I don't know what the deal is with this.
That's why we do the segment on Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday thing, I guess. He like did the pregame, the game, and the postgame all before showing up for a soccer game that he was self-tailgating with his roommate. got absolutely ripped, tried to go home after, and went accidentally across the street into a neighbor's place that was unlocked and passed out face first on their floor. Naturally, things progress. He ends up in detox. And this one's actually really funny because so this is one of my good buddies from college, and he lost his phone, had no, like, didn't have it. So, like, they tell you, yeah, you get one phone call. He's like, I can call my dad, but that's not going to do me any good. And he, the other number that he had memorized was one of his good buddies from college, or from high school, sorry, who he also happened to know went to the same school as a girl that I went to high school with, because the two of us had considered going out and partying with them at Iowa State. So happens to get a hold of this guy. She still has my number. And then they relay it back to this friend, and I get a random call, and I'm like, how, first off, what is this? And how did you remember my number? He's like, oh no, no. Yeah. It's a long story, whatever. So same deal. Have to go pick him up. He is very much of the same ilk as Q, just petrified when I pick him up. Okay. And just same thing. Never, ever going to drink again. Never drinking again. This was awful. And like 2 days later, he was hammered. So whatever. He had a good time. Then that was junior year. Senior year, oh my goodness. This is like the next level of ending up in detox slash drunk tank. So my buddy, a guy that I lived with a couple years in college, so Q, you obviously know who I'm talking about. He was a guy that had a lot of fun, a lot of fun. So I'll demonstrate here with empty beer cans, actually. And he was a guy that would be walking around, and he would triple fist, and he would like be doing all three drinks with a very strategic grip, and like just the life of the party. Really fun guy. Me and another buddy of mine decided, you know, we're going to play pool. Like, this guy will be okay for a minute, right? Like, I don't have to watch him every second. Literally took it was less than 10 minutes for us to win our game of pool. And then I look up at like the three people that I separately had said, hey, can you watch him for a minute? Sure as shit, he's gone. Now, from there, we learned the next day, or sorry, 2 days later, because he was definitely a two-night stay. We learn about him having a ride lined up with two girls we knew at college. They weren't going out, and he's like, hey, if I need a ride, calling you guys. Ended up going outside, walking around, and didn't pass out, but more or less passed out on the curb. And cops showed up and flat out told him, hey, if you can get a ride, like, go home. Otherwise, we got to take you in. And this guy, when I say he had the most intricate passcode to get into his phone, that undersells it. It's literally like, he couldn't open his phone. He was that drunk. So naturally, they take him to the hospital. Apparently, he was definitely a very friendly person, right? Like, always could find a way to be flirty, chat up whatever girl he's approached by, and like somehow like talks this lady into getting him pizza. I shit you not. She got Pizza Hut for the two of them to share until he got sent on the drunk bus. And sure as shit, some lady in detox like offered him, hey, I could order some pizza for us. And he's like, well, yeah, this sounds wonderful.
Dude, this guy's a god.
And he's sitting around, like, he's just having fun hanging out with all the people. Like, you do those group therapy sessions that I'm sure Q had to sit through. Like, you sit down and talk about how you're going to be better. And he's loving it. He is just soaking in the moment.
I go and pick him up.
Right. And I know none of this, obviously, as I'm showing up to pick him up. Because I actually ignored like three of his calls because it came in as like unknown, blocked, whatever. Finally, it's a voicemail. It's like, I'm going to call you again in 15 minutes. Pick the fuck up. I'm in detox. And I'm like, oh, because I should have been aware that he was missing. Was not aware at that time, because once he was gone, I just kind of proceeded with my night and ended up in my own place. So I pick him up and I'm expecting the same thing. Q, never drinking again. Next buddy, junior year, never drinking again. I pick him up. He's like, So where are we drinking tonight?
Love it.
Oh, just I don't know. But so, yep, sophomore, junior, senior year, I had to pick a different person up from Drunk Tank, Isha, and each story was as entertaining as the next.
That's amazing. Drunk Tank's the better term, because I think Detox and I think...
That's what it was called, and that's what everyone knew it as, because people went there.
Fair enough. Up here, it's a different place, but we won't get into that. Make good choices. What a segment. I don't have any Drunk Tank stories. I actually have a story, and I won't get into it on this one because it's not completely related. I was just trying to think. I'm like, do I have any friends who went to the Drunk Tank? I have friends who got arrested and spent a night in jail for really funny things. But I'll put those on the shelf for the next one. Q, thanks for joining us. As always, we'll see you all next week for another edition of Make Good Choices. On the other side, we're going to throw it to Joey for a little Judge Joey here on the Soda Pod.
Every week, the Soda Pod will be featuring a debate of epic proportions, and I am here to determine who will hold the weekly belt of Judge Joey Champion. I, Judge Joey, will decide the winner, not by facts alone, but who debates the topic at hand the best and has the more compelling argument. But hold up, I am not the only one who gets to share their input on who has the better argument. You, yes you, the Soda Pod community, will be able to head to Twitter and cast your vote on who has the better case on Judge Joey. So enough introduction. Let's get to tonight's topic.
All right, boys. Tonight I bring to you, what is the most skilled number in the NHL history? So I'm talking like 8, 16, 99, 19.
I'm going first, right?
Yep. Isha, you kick us off here.
It's the grade 8, baby. You got two of the NHL's best goal scorers wearing that number 8 in Timu Solani, the original great 8, and then Alex Ovechkin, who, let's be honest, has surpassed him and is making a run at Wayne Gretzky's goal record. When you see that number now, you just associate it with, and the pun again, greatness, but also goal scoring. And that's something that I think is so cool in the sport of hockey, where you can have a number symbolize so much and almost a style. And it wasn't even planned that way. Maybe Ovi did an ode to Solani there. He hasn't come out in my knowledge and said that. And, you know, there are a list of other eights out there who have not scored as much, but who have historically been so good to the game. And in my opinion, that's one of my favorite numbers that, you know, I personally like the number 9, but if I'm gearing up in ball hockey and that's available and I'm playing winger, you better believe number 8's the one, because it might bring me some scoring magic too.
Ooh, Hoppy, that's a tough one to follow up. What do you got?
Well, I got to ask Judge, do you know what number I'm picking?
Yeah, I do. And it's going to be a great argument going against number 8. I think you're going to go with number 19.
Abso-fucking-lutely, I'm going with number 19. You go back to the 90s and the early 2000s, 19 was the symbol for dominant hockey. I wore the number 19 purely because of how many good players wore 19, and I just thought, maybe there's just something to the number. I don't know. You look at great leaders and all-around players, but you've got Yzerman, Sakic, Thornton. Hey, Isha, even Naslund wore it. It was such a dominant number across a long period of time, and you still see it today where there's players that want to come into the league and use it and they can't because those numbers are hanging up in rafters. So for me, it's 19, not even close.
Man, I didn't think number 8 would be top, but
hey, number 8 will be in the rafters. I'm just saying both organizations.
This might be the hardest judge that I have to be in the history of Judge Joey. I mean, number 8 with the grade 8. And number 19 with likes of Sakic and Yzerman. Oh, man, this
great eights. That's the thing. It's crazy that Solani then Ovi wore it. It's so cool.
I named 5 guys. You named 2.
Yeah, but 2 of the best goal scorers in the National Hockey League history.
I think one of the best things that you brought up, Isha, was when you think of number 8, you think of goal scorers. You think of, I mean, like you said, Solani and Ovechkin. If you're wearing 8, you better score. But I got to give it to Hoppy this week. I mean, 19 I mean, they have some of the best captains in the history of the NHL. I mean, and like you said, he brought up more than just two guys. So he was easily listed five. So Hoppy, once again, I got to give it to you this week.
He won because Naslin Ward alone, let's be honest.
First off, I'm very sad that Naslin did not play for Pittsburgh. That I loved Naslin growing up. He was like the one like bright spot with the Canucks for me. Because I just in Minnesota, you hated the Canucks because of the Northwest Division, which how many people remember the Northwest Division?
Those who are listening to Stan Rogers in his prime were.
But I don't know. Do you guys think that there's a better captain than pick between Sakic and Yzerman? Just like general talk. Like, I think those are the two best captains, period.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I could pick one, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean,
I really like couldn't.
Lidstrom in there, but I mean, those two, when you think of all time captains in the NHL, I mean, it's those two.
Joey, I would put both of them still above Lidstrom because Lidstrom was one of those, from what I've read and heard, one of the more silent type of captains where like Sakic and Stevie Y, like they spoke up when they had to and they took no shit.
No, I completely agree. I mean, you think of captain and you think of those two.
For sure. Well, we'll change the name to the Sakic Yzerman Leadership Award. It'll probably get talked about a lot less by Mark Messier then too. So win, win, win.
Oh yeah, fuck Mark Messier. By the way, Naslin, so beloved when he was here and playing, but with the new generation of Canucks fans, not talked about enough, honestly. Bertuzzi is going to live on because of the incident. But yeah, no one really talks about Naslin as much as they should. And he's doing local radio now, so he's starting to like kind of get back into it. But yeah, man, he kind of went back to Sweden and I don't want to say was forgotten, but you know, even the younger generation, they're more about Trevor Linden because he's, you know, he's the local guy and he stayed in the community and stuff like that. It's just interesting because Naslin is, again, like one of the best Canucks to ever to suit up for them, in my opinion.
I absolutely agree.
Man, you guys are giving me another topic. We can always we can do best NHL captain in history too. So maybe I'll have to bank that one. You guys.
So let's just both prep our Yzerman and Sakic.
Good shit, guys. That was another good.
We could go best A's and then really go off the board.
Ooh. Jesus Christ!
I mean, if we do best captain, somebody better mention Steve Ott for the Sabres.
Man, no one's ever mentioning Steve Ott for the Sabres. And number two, if we're going A's, I'm going with the cheeky man himself.
All right. Well, maybe I'll throw this into the mix sometime in the future.
Yeah. Wait a little bit so that Isha forgets we talked about this.
Exactly. All right, good shit, boys.
That's a wrap. Thank you to those tuning in on Google, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Folks, the best thing you can do for us this week, any week, is give us 5 stars on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. Leave a review as well. If you're just jonesing for more hockey podcasts this summer, go check us out on our website, thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. And on your app, please download any episode you listen to before you listen to it, as it just helps our business. You can follow myself at VI Sports Talk. You can follow the Soda Pod at the Soda Pod. You can follow Hoppy at State of Hoppy, most places, and the Hockey Podcast Network at Hockey Pod Net. A ton of content this week. If you haven't been catching up here on the Soda Pod Podcast, starting pretty much at the top of the week on Monday, we've been releasing podcasts and content every single day. So check it out, stay abreast, and we'll see you next Monday. Signing off, I'm Isha Jerome alongside the State of Hoppy. This has been the Soda Pod presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. Don't fear, just drink some beer and stay wild.